Remember that. Thank you for the pen.
Anytime.
Episode 8.
You like how I threw it at you, too?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Very violent.
Well, I got nothing for you. Expect what? What do you expect?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 8th episode of Podcasts for Good. This time around, we're actually going to be doing something kind of cool. We're going to be reviewing one of the events that we did, which is Run CFD. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I'm the program manager of the Combined Fund Drive, and of course, as always...
I'm Heather Lucas. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Excellent. So we are going to talk about Run CFD, but not just the event. We're actually going to talk about the charity that was involved with the event, which was Homeless Backpacks.
Yeah.
They were super cool. The folks at Department of Retirement Systems who put this on raised a ton of money.
They did.
For Homeless Backpacks.
They also had a lot more participants than any year prior. So
yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So for those who don't know, Run CFD was started... 2 years ago now? 2 years ago. This is the third annual one. So yeah, it was started 2 years ago in 2015, and it was actually an answer to our 80s theme that we had for the actual whole annual giving campaign.
Yeah.
What I love about our annual campaigns is that so people think it's fresh and fun by the time they get them in October.
Yeah.
But by the time those folks get them, we have already stared at everything for like
far
6 months.
Far too long. Yeah, we are done.
So we're well over whatever theme we came up with.
How many times do I have to dress like Madonna?
Right.
You know?
And that was exactly what it was like. We were very much over the 80s by the time Run CFD happened. But needless to say, the folks from DRS actually put on a pretty good show. Mm-hmm. Then last year, they actually went totally off the board, which was ironic because their theme ended up being this year's theme for us, and that was superheroes. They wanted to do a superhero run last year because our theme was a little bit more serious, a little bit more real, if you will. So they went with superheroes.
Yeah.
And they do this really cool thing where they invite families out. It's one of the only things that CFD does where, like, families are invited and kids are invited to participate, and it's sort of open in that regard that they want that to happen.
Yeah.
It monsooned last year on that day. Like, it was ridiculous. Torrential downpour. We had to cover up the speakers with, like, garbage bags. It was just a disaster. Of the 75 people who signed up, only 30 of them actually came.
Yeah, a little rough.
Yeah, so they decided to rewind it back, and then it was perfect because we were doing superheroes as a theme this year. And so they decided to do superheroes as a theme as well.
I very much enjoyed how the volunteers, DRS, they all decided to be superheroes.
Yeah.
So there was Deadpool, there was Captain America, there
Deadpool
was
the best one, by the way.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I have a personal affinity for both Batman and Deadpool.
Sure.
So, like, a little biased, but...
Yeah. I thought the guy who dressed up as Deadpool did a great job.
He did.
He was awesome.
Yeah, there's Spider-Man, and then there was the Black Power Ranger.
Yes, there were a bunch there.
There
it was
a bunch.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so they all had their own thing going on.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. And so this year they did that theme, and like 200 people came.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They raised $6,500 after cost. Compare that to 2016, where they raised $2,500, and 2015, where they raised $3,000. They actually raised more this year than the previous 2 years put together.
Exponential growth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was skyrocketing growth. I don't know what they're going to do for next year, if they're going to keep the superhero theme, but, I mean, it was cool.
I enjoyed it.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. I didn't even run.
No. I mean, running? For God's sakes, why would we
I do
that?
Enough heavy lifting, man.
I don't need to run.
No way.
I'm in perfect peak physical condition.
You are a specimen, sir.
Hold on, I catch my breath. So one of the things we always like to do with the podcast is we like to give you some stats. And most of you who listen to this show, probably the two who listen repeatedly to the show...
Shout out to Landon Baldwin.
Landon, how you doing, pal? you usually hear that Heather Lucas does the statistics and all that sort of stuff. You do the digging, and
me
I just
too.
Get to be the clown who gets to make a comment on those.
Yeah.
Because you're busy, I decide I decided that I would try to dive into some statistics.
So should I put my feet up? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, sure. Take a break.
Nice,
why not?
Nice.
What I will say is I hope that I did them justice.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I did at all. I might have just totally missed the base.
Well, what are we going to do?
Yeah. It's too late now. Yeah. This is already recording. You can't do anything about it.
Over. Done. Print, cut, go.
Yeah, exactly. So Run CFD, the point behind Run CFD was to help raise money for homeless backpacks, which is this very cool organization that helps homeless middle and high school students make a transition into adult life. What does that really mean? Well, for the most part, the biggest thing that they do are the kids who go to school who are homeless or hungry, they fill backpacks with food and then they give them to these kids. So that they can actually, you know, still function throughout the day.
Yeah, eat over the weekend since they don't have three meals or at least two meals.
Yeah. It's a profoundly local organization, super local, started by basically local moms and grandmas who wanted to do this sort of thing. So it's one of those quintessential local programs that you see. Doesn't run on a ton of money and does a lot for the community. So what I'm going to dive into today are some of the statistics related to homelessness in America, homelessness in Washington,
then
homelessness in Thurston County.
Oh, I like it. Look at this.
Look at this,
breakdown.
Look at this.
Sounds like you did your work.
I think I may have.
Nice. Well, let's find out.
All right. So first homelessness in the United States. So when we talk about homelessness and you talk about the homeless rate in the United States and really anywhere, it's never going to be this jarring number. It's never going to be like 40% of the people are homeless.
Yeah.
Right? It's always going to be in the ones and twos, actually, because the population is so huge that even a big number doesn't always equate to a ton. So the national homeless rate is 1.7%.
Well, yeah, if there's, say, 300 million people in America, and even if it's like 100,000 people are homeless, overall the percentage numbers aren't going to...
Super small. Yeah. Right, exactly. So, and that's the case, 1.7. But the bigger number is the aggregate number.
Okay.
The recent study showed that 564,708 people are homeless in the United States.
Okay.
So that's 500,000 people.
That is a lot of people.
Yeah. About a quarter of that group are children.
That's crazy.
That's insane, right? I mean, it's a large tragedy, so you're basically talking 125, 150 million are kids.
Or 1,000.
Yeah, not a million. 150,000 are kids. This was a crazy thing. This was just a crazy stat to me. About 110,000 LGBTQ youth are homeless.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's just crazy.
I wonder if that has anything to do with just, like, if somebody's turned out from their home because of...
Family dynamics?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, that's a crazy number.
That is.
And then, of course... If you talk about the adult stuff, we're focusing mostly on the youth because we talk to homeless backpacks, but you know, veterans are high group. The mental illness is a huge group. The mentally ill folks have trouble, you know, keeping their homes.
Well, I think a lot of people just assume that people who are homeless are there because of their own problems, their own volition. They did it to themselves, and it's mostly just adult men.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because that's what you see on the street corner.
Yeah.
Right. And then as we dig deeper down into Washington State's problems, according to the Seattle Times, Washington State's population of homeless rose by 3.5%.
Really?
From 2016 to 2017, including an 8% jump in King County.
I don't doubt like King County would be a higher jump because you hear skyrocketing rents.
I know.
Nothing like rent control is getting to be this thing that's like a mythical beast.
Yeah.
How do you live in your house if you can't afford salary doesn't cover?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
King County has more than half of the state's homeless population.
Wow.
10,700, just a shade over. Overall, 21,800 folks are homeless in Washington State.
Crazy, man.
Yes, that's crazy.
That is serious madness.
More than 9,300 of those people sleep on streets, in tent encampments, or under overpasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're talking homeless.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't even be considered an actual shelter of any kind. So they are called unsheltered individuals.
Okay.
So they have an actual name for these folks who... you know, you see when you're driving north,
yeah,
you see those tents,
yeah,
that's those folks. Washington State's homeless population, even though it has risen, is still 1.2%. So it's okay. Under the national number.
Okay.
Here in Thurston County, it is a bit different. So so Thurston County's homeless rate is 2.1%.
Really?
Yes. So it's higher than Washington State overall.
Wow.
Yeah. And 21% of Thurston's homeless are 17 or under.
Yeah.
So 1 in 5 who are homeless are people who are 17 or younger here in Thurston County.
Yeah, and see, that does make a little more sense for people that you see in Thurston County. Like, if you go downtown Olympia, there are a lot of kids who are just wandering around, and you wonder, where aren't you supposed to be home right now?
I know, right? Yeah.
Maybe they're not home because they don't have one.
Yeah, exactly right. And then there are just a little over 1,500 homeless public school students in Thurston County.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's
crazy.
Really crazy. That's who specifically homeless backpacks targets are the kids who are under 17 who will go to public school, who qualify for free and reduced lunches and such like that. But
yeah.
I mean, these are all just insane statistics that you just you do hope get better. Now, by all accounts, according to this 2016 homeless census report here in Thurston County, the numbers actually have gone down.
Okay.
So it was down from 1,700 just 2 years ago.
Okay.
So there is work being done, and hopefully there are things that can get done.
Sure.
To basically help alleviate that problem. Homeless Backpacks is this organization that doesn't really work to solve the issue. That's what's always so interesting about these charities. I think people sometimes think, well, this charity is trying to fix the issue. What they're trying to do is fix the... they're not trying to fix the actual disease. They're trying to fix the symptoms.
Yeah.
So they're really trying to fix the hunger portion, the grades portion. And they feel like if they can do that, they can move the needle a bit on the other stuff. Higher graduation rates, better grades, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and if you have higher graduation rates and better grades, then you are more likely to be... say, entered into college or get a job.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really interesting stuff. And Run CFD raised $6,500 for this particular organization.
That's super cool.
So that is really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure that will go to help a lot of kids eat a lot more food than they would have last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the main things we want to do, we always try to do, is thank the volunteers who put these sort of things on. A huge shout out to the crazos at the Department of Retirement Systems.
Oh,
they are the nuttiest group of people that we know, but they are super passionate about the work.
They're fun to work with too.
They are a ton of fun.
Yeah,
they are electric at every single event we put on.
They are really.
They love to take a break. Their agency is completely in support of them.
Yeah,
it's really cool to see across the board.
It is. Yeah.
Right. Their executive leader was the guy who won the frickin' race.
He did. It was incredible. I was like, wait a minute.
He should have been wearing a flash shirt.
He should have been wearing a flash shirt.
He was blazing down there.
He was. It was incredible.
Yeah. And then also a big thank you to, for the first time, Country Financial, who actually sponsored the entire event, paid for all the t-shirts that came in, and then had a fun little booth where they had popcorn and they gave away stuff. And
I think they had cotton candy too.
Cotton candy was there. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
They sponsored the event, and as a result, got their logo on the super sweet CFD versions of the of superhero logos. Essentially what they are. So it was good. Since we did go with a bit of a superhero theme, I did have a question of the podcast before we dive into. That's me.
Question.
Banging my papers like a newsman.
Yep.
So I get to hit you with the question of the podcast today. This is new. All right. Okay. So superheroes are all the rage. There's essentially a movie every week.
I think so.
About a superhero.
Probably like every 3 days.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty tired of some of them.
Yeah.
You know, Justice League's about to come out. I'm just not sure about Ben Affleck as Batman.
No, I am not either. When I heard that casting, I was like, what?
I know. Was but not a fan.
No.
I mean, even though I'm a fan of Affleck, as you know.
Mm-hmm. I do know.
I just not a great move.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So let's talk about...
Okay.
Who is the best actor in the current superhero movie genre? When I mean current, I mean let's go back to the Renaissance, this new sort of like...
So you're talking like 2005?
Yeah, like 2005. Like let's say start at Iron Man.
Okay.
Right? Like the original, the first Iron Man. and move forward. Who are some of the best actors we've seen?
Okay, so without a doubt, both Christian Bale as Batman and Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Reynolds was definitely, like, I think he was born as Deadpool, but, you know, he didn't have the mutation powers,
right? Sure, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
But Christian Bale was fantastic.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He is, yeah.
So, and Batman is the only one, the Batman movies, those three.
Oh, yeah, those Nolan ones?
The Christopher Nolan ones are the only one that got a guy a freaking Oscar.
Yeah, right?
I mean, is Heath Ledger or is he not? Like, the best villain.
Dude, he was incredible.
Maybe ever.
I think so.
He basically is right up there with, like, Hannibal Lecter.
He was, yeah. He was like the bride from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Like, he's unpredictable.
Yeah.
He definitely gives off that whole level of crazy because the Joker, like, he's got that funny, so he'd had that, but then he also had the maliciousness because he's a villain.
Yep.
When they cast Heath Ledger, it was like, huh, okay.
I know. I thought it was curious.
We'll see how that goes. All right, you know. Mm-hmm. But knowing that it was already established as with Christian Bale, Michael Caine, it's a Christopher Nolan movie, it seemed like he'd be in good hands.
Uh-huh.
He was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. They kept talking about all the interviews you ever see. They it felt like they were totally, him and Christopher Nolan were totally in tune with what they wanted this guy to be.
Yeah.
And when they first announced him, I thought, the guy from 10 Things I Hate About You?
Knight's Tale?
Yeah. But then, and I thought, there's no way he could even live up to Jack Nicholson's Joker. He freaking blew that
out of the water.
Out of the water.
Out of the water.
That one doesn't even exist anymore.
Nope, not one bit.
I mean, his was amazing.
So I did hear that Heath Ledger looked back to interviews that he remembered as a kid when he was in Australia.
Yeah.
With Tom Waits, the musician.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was this particular one from like 1974 that had stuck with him. And he pretty much imitates, like, the Joker, his timber, like, how he interacts and his hand movements. Yeah. It's Tom Waits from 1974.
That's amazing. It's crazy.
Cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would agree with you. Those are, like, number one with a bullet. Because Eckhart is awesome as Two-Face.
Yeah.
He's awesome as Joker. Bale is amazing as Batman and Bruce Wayne. It's a rare combo.
Yeah, yeah, it
is. You don't get both of them at the same time.
No, you don't.
And then you even talked about the guy who plays Bane.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy.
Tom
He's
Hardy.
Amazing.
He
Late.
Was.
So that's number one, number one.
Yeah.
I would probably go with Downey.
You like him?
As Iron Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I never even read Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even on my radar. But there was one way you could get me to go see Iron Man.
Yeah.
And that was...
Put Downey in it?
If you put Downey in the movie.
Nice.
Because he's such a great actor.
Yeah.
And that was that first time where I felt like they went, you know, instead of casting, like, clowns...
We should cast someone a little more serious.
We should cast a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they started to take off.
Yeah.
The other one that's really interesting is Chris Evans as Captain America, because he looks like Captain America.
He does look like he should always be like a good, clean-cut young man.
He should
man.
Be Captain America.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he volunteers. He looks like he gives money to charity.
I know.
You know, he looks like he'd hold the door open for you.
Oh, gosh.
He'd pet dogs, he saw.
I know.
He'd help grandmas
help
walk
across
the street.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like Captain America.
He does.
And then Henry Cavill looks
like
Superman.
He does, yeah.
He looks he's like a stunning, like, where you're like, geez, man, you're chiseled out of like marble.
Yeah. Why do you got to do that to us?
He's the wife's favorite.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Henry Cavill as Superman is the wife's favorite.
Nice.
Yeah.
So if he ever showed up at your doorstep, you have no chance.
I got no shot.
You're like,
no,
all right.
I got no shot with Cavill on the movie.
Babe, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to Applebee's for a bit. Have a good time.
Exactly.
Have a good time with Superman.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. So what we're saying, as we sum up, what we're saying is we're saying that Bale, number one with a
ball. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For you, Deadpool.
I love it.
Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Oh, I love the childish humor as well.
He's fabulous.
Yes.
And then for me, probably Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Nice. I dig it.
All right. That's pretty, and I feel like those are pretty strong, solid choices.
I think so.
Awesome. So we aren't just going to talk about movies, although we could do that all day.
We should do that all day.
Yes, we should. we're going to introduce the founding chair of Kelly Wilson. We're going to talk to her a little bit about Homeless Backpacks. So here is our interview with Kelly Wilson. All right, so we are here with Kelly Wilson, the chair of Homeless Backpacks. Kelly, thanks for coming. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. So Kelly... The reason why we're having you on is we kind of are doing a wrap-up podcast of the couple of events that we had over the last 2 weeks, the Gulf of Veterans, and in particular with you, we had the Run CFD, which I don't know if you've heard yet from the volunteers who ran it, but it made over $7,000.
I saw that on Facebook this morning.
Yeah.
Very cool. It was a tremendous event.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to be the recipients in 2015. And, yeah. You know, it was so much fun. The theme was 80s, and everybody right. played full out, and it was just yeah. looking around. It was a yeah. blast. And this year, with that superhero theme, it yeah. just was beautiful.
They did a great job.
And it brought out so many people, yeah. and I kept having to stop myself because just looking around and being in that energy,
yeah.
I kept crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know, and I didn't want to be standing around crying on a Saturday yeah. morning, but it was touching. It yeah. was, people were excited. Families were there. I yeah. saw two little girls. I don't even remember what they were dressed up as, but they looked to be like, you know, 3 and 4 years old,
yeah.
and they're
yeah.
walking, holding hands, and their capes are flying behind them.
Right. That's adorable.
It was just a precious awesome. And hugely successful
yeah.
event.
Yeah. We loved it, and they did a really good job. And I think that probably moving forward, I feel like, with them and Country Financial and you guys, it's gonna do really cool things for
yeah,
a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, bigger and better every year.
They loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it.
Yeah, good.
So, well, we're going to talk to you mostly today about homeless backpacks in particular. Because I think what tends to happen is a lot of people came out and they supported homeless backpacks, but sometimes they don't quite know
right.
exactly what it is that you guys do.
Exactly.
So can you give us a little history about homeless backpacks? How did it get started?
Sure. Okay. So, it really started over a conversation at dinner with a group of girlfriends and talking about an encounter with a homeless man. And just, we had a conversation about that and how it's kind of uncomfortable when you're at that stoplight mm-hmm. and you're kind of captive there, and
yeah.
there's somebody with a sign and they look like they're in pain, and you don't know what to do, if you should hand them money or talk to them or look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so
right.
uncomfortable, or just close your eyes and pray, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we were discussing that and thought, well, let's take an action and do something.
Yeah.
So we just decided that we'd fill backpacks with things that we thought they wanted or needed, and that we'd hand them out. And of course, we're always looking for a reason to get together. So,
yeah.
so we made our list of who was going to get what and planned out our party for when we were going to stuff the bags.
Yeah.
And in between the time we had that dinner and we actually had the time we got together to stuff the bags, one of my business partners, who is married to a police officer, said, "You can't just walk into a homeless encampment. You need to be escorted."
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me a phone number of then a lieutenant with the Lacey Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
She said, he's a good guy. He'll probably go out with you. And so I called him up. It was Chris Ward.
Mm-hmm.
He's now a commander for the detectives unit in Lacey.
I'm so
proud of myself that I know that.
Yeah.
I just talked to him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, yes, you know, we'll go yeah. out with you. We'll escort you. And he also called the Olympian to see if they wanted to come with us. So he didn't tell us that. And so they came out with us, and they trekked us out to some encampments, and we handed out some supplies, and people were grateful. You know,
yeah.
we feel like we made a difference for them. And the reporter, the photographer, he said, you know, this probably won't make the paper because if any news happens. And we're like, we didn't plan on it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So he said, can I get your number? So I gave him my phone number, and that was that.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, my phone started ringing at 7 o'clock in the morning and didn't stop all day long. And it was people calling, wanting to know how they could help.
Wow.
So I hadn't even
wow.
looked at the paper yet. And on the front page was a really beautiful picture of my friend Perry with a beautiful red backpack handing it to a homeless man.
Wow.
And there's my phone number.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it just happened that it was 2 days before Thanksgiving. So people are, you know, they're wanting to help
yeah.
out. They're wanting to do
mm-hmm.
things and looking for ways to give, because it's what human beings want to do.
Yeah.
They want to make a difference. So that it was just madness.
Yeah.
it was sweet, but it was madness. But one of those calls was from the Housing Authority of Thurston County, and
mm-hmm.
they invited us to participate in the homeless census that takes place every
sure.
January.
Right.
And so we said, well, I couldn't speak for my friends, but I said, I will, and I'll talk to my friends. And but we, a few of us did end up participating. And because we participated, we paid attention to the results of that. And what we were really taken aback by were how many kids, how many people under 18.
You had mentioned something like that when we talked, shooting the video we did, that the average age is like 9 years old.
Yeah, the average age is 9 years old. You know, and it had never dawned on me or my girlfriends that the homeless person wasn't just that guy flying the sign on the corner, but it's families, it's children. And so as moms and grandmas and aunts, we wanted to make a difference there. If we were going to do something, we wanted to do something with the kids. And we didn't want to duplicate services, so we just started asking around. And there's so many great things going on in Thurston County in regard to homelessness. And there are groups of people that are just, you know, their hearts and souls and everything, and they're making a huge difference. So we got to be connected with that, those groups of people, and found out that the homeless kids that are in school, that they get their free breakfast and lunch during the week, but often have no access to food on the weekends. So that we knew that's what we wanted to do. And then I'd worked with Robert Coit from the Thurston County Food Bank on things with senior services in the past. And so I called him up, because if we were going to do food, we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And he said he'd actually been thinking about the same thing. So we designed our program together. And and it still pretty much is the way it was that we designed it back in, I think it was probably maybe 2005 when we first started talking about it. We didn't roll it out until 2006. But so the way we designed it, and that it still is that the food bank has a program, they call it For Kids. And they serve elementary schools in Olympia, Lacey, and Tumwater. And Homeless Backpacks serves middle schools and high schools in Olympia, Lacey, and Tumwater, then all grades in Rochester, Rainier, Tenino, and Yelm. And it sounds like, when you say that, and I always have to clarify, it sounds like we've got the lion's share, but we don't. They're serving in the thousands, and we're serving in the hundreds. So, like last year, we finished the school year at 507. So that's how that compares. But, you know, we're structured completely differently. You know, Robert Coit has a fabulous entity there, and you know, they have the warehouse space. He's got grant money and all kinds of volunteers. We're more of a shoestring group, and we don't have any paid employees, and we don't, we haven't tapped into any government grants or anything like that. We're just starting to dip our toes into corporate grants. We haven't gotten any yet, but we're working on it, because at, with the growth that our program's had, we need to really look at other funding sources.
I love that.
How does it work? Like, you have, you said 507 kids that you served last year. So what is the process? Like, how does it work for you guys to help them get food?
Okay, so we work with the counselors at each school. And or the point person. It's kind of different at each school, the point person who works with the homeless kids. And we're in communication with them every week. And they let us know that week how many homeless kids they're working with. And we provide that many bags of food each week, so that when they're out of school and wherever they go, they've got food to take with them.
So then that lasts them through the weekend, and then they come back to school and start with the breakfast and the lunch again.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. So can you talk a little bit, you kind of did, you talked a little bit about what your organization does for the community, but specifically, how does it work? Like, how do you guys do that?
How do we do it? Okay, so we have, we've got different teams of volunteers, and each team has a coordinator, and so we have our shopping team, that they go out and they shop for the food, and then we have our delivery team, and that's the team that takes the bags to the schools. And those coordinators have those teams very well organized. They're, you know, just a great, great operation. And then we do bagging parties that we bag the food. So, like this Saturday, we've got a group of people coming in that will bag 400 bags of food. prior to that, our shopping coordinator had the team shop for all the food that we would need to bag. And then next week, the delivery team will take those to the schools.
Nice. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So are they physically, are they backpacks? Are they bags? Or?
So when we first started, it was back when we still had plastic grocery bags. And those were kind of see-through. So you could tell that if a child was walking around, they're walking around with food. And we didn't want to make anyone feel bad or embarrassed. So each student that was in our program, we gave them a backpack for their food because their other backpack's full of their school supplies. And then when those bags were banned, we really had to scramble to figure out what to do. And now we use a thicker, heavier plastic bag. And you can't really tell that there's food in there. And now the most of the kids don't want to be bothered with a backpack. So now we have this name, Homeless Backpacks, and rarely do we give out a backpack, but we still do.
Nice.
That's funny.
So you talked a little bit about how the counselors at the schools identify, like, these are the group of kids who are identified as homeless and would need assistance.
Right.
So, like, of course there's a stigma about homelessness. But do you find that it's hard to identify and help homeless kids in our area?
Absolutely. Now, the elementary kids, they will tell you, you know, if they're hungry, they'll step right up and tell you. They'll tell someone. But the middle school and high school kids, they don't want to be noticed. And they really do everything they can to just go unnoticed.
They want to fit in.
Right. And can you imagine it? You know, I can't even hardly go there sometimes, you know. But the counselors and the teachers and the administrators, they do a great job of working together and just picking up cues. Just, you know, they kind of get a sense of who's kind of in trouble. And then the counselors, they work their magic and they form a trusting relationship with that student and they open up and... the counselors have told us that that bag of food is really a great conversation starter. And so that they can start to build that relationship. And then the other bonus is that the student that normally would be trying to hide from everyone, the counselor gets to look them in the face every week and assess, talk to them, you know, are they safe? Do they look like they're being abused? Is there something else they need? Because they have other resources other than just homeless backpacks. So they, you know, if they need socks, if they need school supplies, they've got other places they can they can reach into and get those things.
So it's like a one-on-one check-in every week with them.
And that was a benefit we didn't even imagine. We just wanted them to have food. But you know, the feedback we've been getting from the counselors through the years is that there's that other layer that really makes a difference, too.
So you, one of the things I remember us kind of talking about is that you don't always, well, you almost never actually get to see the person that that gets benefited from Homeless Backpacks, the kid. But are there any sort of examples of success stories that you can think of off the top of your head that have happened to you guys, short of just hearing it? But I mean, like, what sort of things have been successes for you guys?
Gosh, There's several, but last school year, at the end of the year, we got a beautiful letter from a young lady that was graduating from one of the high schools that we serve, and she was saying everything we would have wanted her to say. You know? She thanked the group. She said she knew that it took a village to get that food to her every week, and what it meant to her to not be hungry on the weekends and not to have to think about that with all the other things she had to think about, that she didn't have to think about food, and that she is starting, she started St. Martin's University.
Isn't
that awesome?
Excellent.
So she started St. Martin's University this fall, and that she said she could never have achieved what she achieved had she not had that food and that support. And, you know, I know that it took a lot more than that food and that support, but even that she would feel like that was a piece of her success and what helped her get where she was, you know, that makes everything worth it.
Yeah.
That's, so
yeah.
Cool. That's really
you
cool.
just get one positive reply and like, right. like okay, yeah, job's done. Right. Everything's great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So someone hears the podcast and they want to start giving to you. Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for you guys?
Oh, absolutely. So the combined fund drive for one makes a huge difference for us, and watching it grow through the years, you know, that first year that we signed up, I think we got like $35 the first quarter, yeah. which was great. Yeah. You know, everything is wonderful. But I think the last quarter, and I could be wrong, but I think it was about $1,500.
Wow. Nice.
So that money that we can count on makes a huge difference. Each bag of food costs $8. Mm. And this year we're on track to be over 700 students. Mm. And that, due to a few things, we've picked up a couple of new schools. There's a couple new middle schools. And then I think all of the schools now have moved 6th grade into middle school. Ah. So that pulled them from that the 4 Kids program and into ours.
Yeah.
And that was something we hadn't anticipated.
Sure.
We knew there would be growth, but not this leap that that we've seen this year. So right now we're kind of changing things around and doing what we can to make sure that we never run out of money and that we can continue. And we're not going to run out of money. So,
yeah.
but you know, every dollar
yes.
makes a huge difference.
Absolutely.
And you know, like I'd said before, we're all volunteers. We don't have paid employees, so the dollars aren't going to that. We just moved into a new space, and our landlords have given us a great deal. We pay a modest amount of money, but we do pay some rent.
Sure.
And then we have our power and I don't know if I can say this, but our garbage service was donated. We're so excited about
wow.
it. Yeah, that was a huge gift.
That's actually
gift.
Huge.
It's
yeah.
a huge gift.
Yeah.
Well, because we go through, well, our recycling is huge.
Right.
The packaging on all this food items
yeah.
is huge. So
yeah.
so when we were given that gift, that was
That's
great.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. yeah.
yeah. yeah. Awesome.
So did that speak to
yeah.
you? Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Okay.
And then do you have any upcoming events that you want to share or talk about?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We have our major fundraiser. It's the Bountiful Harvest Dinner and Auction and Dinner, and it's on Saturday, October 21st. It's at the
awesome.
Lacey Community Center.
Cool.
And it's a fun event. You know, it's silent auction, live
yeah.
auction dinner.
Sure, yeah.
This year, we're really fortunate. We've got Randy Rowland as our MC, and you probably don't know him by name, but if you've ever gone to a Seahawks game, you've heard him. He is the stadium announcer.
Oh,
no way.
Seahawks. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And he's donating his time. He's
Get
a really great
here.
Guy.
That's awesome.
So that should be a lot of fun. And we've got Jerry Farmer, who everybody loves.
Of course,
loves.
Everybody's favorite MC.
Yep, that's right. So he's our auctioneer,
yep.
and he's
nice.
Been a huge support to Homeless Backpacks through yep. the years. Just, you know, can't say enough about him. So, you know, and because of our growth this year, there's more pressure on that event than ever.
Yep.
So, you know, we're still looking for donations.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for guests.
Yeah.
Anything that someone
awesome.
Wants to contribute, sponsorships.
Cool.
We're still looking for that.
Cool. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So Kelly, thank you very much for being on the podcast, and we really appreciate you stopping by and telling us about Homeless Backpacks a little bit.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You're
awesome.
Making a difference for a lot of kids.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad the donors will be able to hear that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was our interview with Kelly Wilson from Homeless Backpacks. Really interesting organization, and we're really glad that the volunteers from the Department of Retirement Systems could help those guys out with that kind of money.
Absolutely.
And she was really, really, she was really just excited and ecstatic about how much money it raised, and you know, just the awareness that it brought to that organization. So it was cool.
Well, one of the things I do love that DRS volunteers did for that run was that they allowed people to bring donations as well to pay for their registration.
I thought that was cool too.
Bring food. Stuff for kids.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome.
That was awesome
I
too.
Did like that.
Yeah.
So some of the upcoming stuff. We're kind of in the thick of it now in terms of our volunteers actually doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So we don't have as many big things for the CFT on tap as we usually do. November is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. The reason why we bring that up is because on Friday, the first Friday in November, our first Friday flick will be the Alzheimer's Society of Washington. And we had, what was unique about this video is we had actual state employees send in pictures of people who had passed on due to Alzheimer's or were fighting Alzheimer's. So it's a very moving and kind of cool sort of shout out to family members who have fought that. We just finished up with the Masquerade Ball. It raised more than $37,000 for the CFT after cost. An awesome event with like 1,300 people here.
It was incredible.
It was big time.
It was big time.
Yeah, we really kind of looked around and were like, wow, this is bigger than
ever. Yeah. It's exponential growth.
A lot going on there.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you for everybody who came. And speaking of getting better and bigger, the first numbers came out for the annual campaign just about a week and a half ago, and the campaign's up. $150,000 in pledges and 600 donors from last year.
That's freaking awesome.
Yes, that is freaking awesome.
It's
amazing. Just a reminder to folks, too, the last week to give is December 4th through the 8th. So we might have something kind of clever and fun during that time period, but just for everybody who listens, make sure you remember that that's coming up.
Yeah.
So that's it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate you taking the time to hear us talk about our own event.
Yeah.
And how great we were at it.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh,
also,
we're so amazing.
Yes, we are. And then also Homeless Backpacks. So we'll talk to you guys soon.